Hi, I'm comedian Brad Wallach.
And I'm energy medicine practitioner and clairvoyant Jackie Leonardini.
And together we host the new podcast, Funny Energy, Healing Through Humor.
Listen on the iHeart app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts, and follow us on Instagram at Funny Energy Podcast.
Yeah. Well, if you put it there, good luck finding it. Oh, gotta go, Mom. Guys, Adam Ray here. Welcome back to the podcast. About Last Night is what you're watching. Click here to subscribe and follow the show for all the YouTube content and clips. Follow on Spotify and iTunes, Twitter and Instagram at ALN Podcast. Me at Adam Ray Comedy. Tour dates, lots of them coming up. I am here in LA this weekend for the first time in a long time. Again, shooting the special at Comedy on State in Madison, Wisconsin. Going to do a special episode about it, but a truly insane special time. An amazing weekend. We got it. Four shows. Now we got to cut it together. Thanks to everybody that came out and helped put that together. Jesse, who directed it, and the entire Comedy on State staff, Ivana, Alec, everybody. My mom flew out, my wife, my buds. Great time. And now it's back to the drawing board. Fuck. What else is funny? It's a great name for a special. Should call it that. Yeah. Tour dates. AdamRayComedy.com. Got some dates with Sal Volcano coming up, some dates with Matt Rife coming up, and a few more headline dates for myself before 2023 ends. Today's episode begins with Pete Coriale, hilarious comedian, the host of the Pete and Sebastian show that he hosts with Sebastian Maniscalco. Heard of him? Probably have. And Pete is hilarious. I've known him for, coming up on 10 years when I was featuring. I met Pete, did a few gigs with him, and just a great dude, funny dude. We ripped his pen before the show, so definitely some stony moments. Didn't realize how good the weed was until about 6 minutes in. So hope you enjoy this one and follow it, because it's all over the place, but it's fun. Pete is on tour, PeteCoriale.com. Go find him, go see him, go check him out, go love him, go laugh. And, of course, the Pete and Sebastian show every Monday is new episodes. After you listen to the About Last Night, subscribe here. New episodes every Monday. All right, that's it. Adam Ray Live at Portland. Dr. Phil and Bill Burr special on the YouTube channel. Shooting a new one coming up in a couple weeks. Is that it? Tour dates, Twitter handles, merch, AdamRayComedy.com. Enjoy the episode. Brand new one with Pete Coriale.
Hey, it's Herbert. And you're listening to the About Last Night podcast, you slippery little son of a bitch.
Welcome back to the show, guys. Pete Coriale here. Living legend.
What's going on, man, bro?
Dude, you don't age.
Ah, get out of here. Thanks. Good to be here. Good to be here.
Great to have you. Great to have you in the city of... Are we the city of angels or the city of dreams?
City of both, yeah. Right? Yeah. A lot of beautiful people. It's unbelievable.
Every time you come here, you think that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Always good-looking people.
And there's no shortage. I think there's... As the days and the years go by, I think more and more people get more and more money to afford more and more surgeries. And I'm not saying that people without surgeries aren't living here, but I notice more just from being here. I'm like, oh, that doesn't look real.
I find, though, less obesity here.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's got to be the warm weather thing. We're outside all the time. Let's stay thin. I live an hour outside of Buffalo.
Sure.
People put a few on as a bear does. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Buffalo. Well, you guys got that General Mills factory right nearby.
We have no good food. Like, I mean, any food. My wife's a great cook, so we eat very well. And we have good supermarkets, but you can't go out and get a delicious, healthy meal.
You can't.
No.
There's not a Trader Joe's in Buffalo, is there?
There is in Buffalo, but I'm saying restaurant-wise.
Oh, not gotcha. Well,
in Buffalo, you can. I live an hour outside of Buffalo. Gotcha. Where I'm saying, you know, it's like Buffalo wings, burgers. Everyone opens up a new restaurant, and they serve the same shit. But then, so you go to a restaurant, you go, all you guys serve is wings and chicken fingers and burgers. Can someone serve something new? Then you go to one restaurant in town, and they open up, and they're like, they're serving smeared ahi tuna something. Oof. And you're going, well, you're getting the tuna around here, and then you bail on that for a whole different set of reasons.
Fuck.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't trust most tuna, but that was my high school yearbook quote too. But I also feel like that there's I don't know. I just, when I taste tuna, I'm always like, oh, this tastes like it came from somewhere. And that's not good. I don't want to taste any sort of origin story. Does that make sense?
Yes. Right, right. You want your tuna to have like no fish taste at all.
There was a story for a while there that Jared from Subway.
I forgot about that guy.
Oh, man. Yeah. Never forget. This guy. This guy was the first. This guy was the almost more famous than Ronald McDonald.
Yeah.
As far as fast food spokesmen go.
Sure.
Yeah. I'd go Ronald McDonald, Jared, Tony the Tiger.
Oh, you're doing all sorts of foods. Okay.
Well, yeah. out of pedophile mascots, yeah.
Oh. Why? What did Tony the Tiger do?
I don't know, but he just... He's a little too positive for my taste.
Oh, all right.
And Ronald's a clown.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Right, right.
Clowns and wacky and weird go hand in hand. Yes. Are you afraid of clowns?
No. Excuse me. No, I'm not. I think they're weird, but I think they... I think they're weird just because I think it's weird that a grown man would want to make a living, you know, wearing makeup and making a kid laugh, you know
totally.
What I mean? So, that's all.
I mean, I think the balloon animal thing is where I kind of, my interest gets piqued because I'm like, well, but also like, why? And I don't think any kid ever at a party was like, blow that balloon up and then you put them up in the ceiling and they're like, oh, it's too bad that doesn't look like a giraffe right now.
Yeah, yeah.
But also, I think as a clown, you're just trying to fill airtime. You're almost like a baseball commentator. You're just looking for ways to keep the story moving.
Yeah. Now you got me on the balloon thing because, like, I see him in Central Park, right? Where these
hot
guys,
air balloons?
No, the guys are making balloon animals.
Oh, cool.
And
I guess that's a skill set I just don't know much about, so that's why I'm shitting on it. But
no, but that I'm right there with you. I feel like when I see them make this thing, it obviously took time to learn how to make a dog out of a fucking balloon. And I feel in that same amount of time, you could have learned how to do something
so many
a little
things.
Less embarrassing for a little.
It's like, you know, people are watching you, right? You're in Central Park.
Yeah.
Did you have weird jobs like that, though?
Let's see. I worked... for my uncle doing sewer and drain, like unclogging people's toilets. That was pretty heavy. That was pretty wild. But no, nothing like really weird that I could think of.
Wait,
how about you?
Unclogging the toilets?
Like if your toilet was clogged. Like
Your uncle, he was a plumber.
No, we didn't put in piping. We literally, like a Roto-Rooter guy.
Wow.
Yeah,
wait,
man.
Wait, so people that didn't have plungers or literally... They broke, like, what?
Well, you know, sometimes you've never had a toilet that it's clogged.
Yes.
You can't even get it with the plunger or the sink drain is clogged.
What would you guys do? What was the method to the madness? Just a little.
Well, you usually got to go to the trap, find the trap outside of the bathroom and then hit it with the snake and keep running the cord. You know what I mean?
You are a handy guy, huh?
We had one, though. My uncle had maintenance jobs where, like, he would go, one was a shopping center, and we would go, he's supposed to go once every month and run this giant snake through the entire main line of the shopping center out into the, like, sewer, right? And he would never do it because he would just drive and see the sewer, and as long as stuff was flowing out of it, he was like, we don't gotta clog it. They'll think we did. I mean, he'd just get his monthly check.
Yeah.
So one time we pulled up, and it wasn't flowing. So he's like, oh, man, this shit is backing up. So he goes into a couple of stores. And he said, you having problems with your toilets? And they're like, no, Tony, everything's fine, you know. So he goes, it's not coming out into the sump. But he's telling me, he goes, but these people aren't complaining. I don't know what the hell's going on. So then we go and we check the basement of the entire supermarket. And it is about 2 feet high of piss and shit for like a month straight. It was just filling up in the basement. And I'm like, it was like my third day working with him. And I'm like, this is insane. Oh, my God, what do we do? Call the fire department?
Yeah.
How do you even do? And he's like, no, we take care of it. I'm like, what? We go back to the truck. We get the equipment. We put on waders up to our waist.
Yeah.
Walking through it. And then you're setting up pallets to put the machine on top of it so it doesn't get soaked. And you just hit in the corner, there's a pipe. And the whole basement, you can't tell, has a slight pitch. And as soon as he gets to it, he's going like this. I feel it. I'm on it now.
Oh,
I'm on.
God.
Boom. And when he gets through... It's like parting the Red Sea.
Yeah,
I'm standing
good.
On the crates, and you just see piss and shit flowing past me. Like it was like, oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, so unbelievable.
The things we'll do for money.
That's right, man. That's
Holy
right.
shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that should be a documentary about, you know,
and he,
uncloggers and prostitutes.
And, you know, we sit here in this town of acting, and I want to point out one little other thing about my uncle. Is there's been a couple times, and one time in particular always stands out to me. We would also, you have these big cesspools, and sometimes they would get filled. So yeah. So when we'd go there, and if that was filled, my uncle would be like, all right, we got to call a company, and they come, and they suck everything out of your cesspool, and then we dump acid down there, and it burns the sides to make it more porous so that next time you start flushing, it doesn't fill up right away. I know I'm telling you more than you need to know.
No, this is perfect.
So in the contract, you got to put 5 of these things that you pour the acid, these big jugs that are heavy. You pour it down a vent on the side of the house. And my uncle only had 3 left filled. And he's like, man, I don't want to drive 40 minutes back to the shop to get 2 more, 40 minutes back here with them. So he took 2 different times. There's an old man whose house it was watching us. My uncle pulled empty ones out of his truck, but he's pretending it's full and carrying over. And when you pour it, it makes a hissing sound out of the back hole. So he was pouring it going like this. And the old man's sitting back here, and I'm chatting with him like, beautiful day out here. Nothing, just air, just pouring air.
Oh,
holy
God,
shit.
Dude.
One more to go, and then he shuffled.
Oh, my fucking God.
Yeah, man. A couple times, this is the last one I'll say, when you go, sometimes people go to flush their toilet and it overflows. And what happens a lot is they have too much toilet paper. And if you just wait like about 2 hours, the toilet paper dissipates a lot more than you can flush. But a lot of people freak out and immediately call my uncle. And it's like $300 just for the visit. So when we'd go out there and he'd see right away, I'm going to flush and this is going to be no problem.
Awesome. Yeah?
So he had a special rag for that. He always kept in his back pocket and he'd open up the trap and when they're not looking, he'd stick the rag in there. And then he'd like, give it a flush, Pete. And it would start to come up and he'd like, all right, shut it down. Shut the water down. And he's like, yeah, I see the problem. And the lady would be like, I'm so glad I called.
Oh.
And she leaves the room. He pulls the rag out, puts it back in his pocket, screws the cap on and goes, hey, we got it, hon. We're done.
Oh, my God. Brilliant.
Yeah, well, you got to make a buck, right?
You got to make a buck, and you need people to keep needing you.
Yeah.
It's like if he had just done a simple flush and then bounced out, right, she would have been like, oh, wait, so I could have done that?
Yeah.
And then, you know, but we wouldn't want people to
learn. He got screwed because he had a rule. If he came and had to come back within 3 months to your house, that was free, the second visit, okay?
Wow.
So he went on vacation. He had hired this guy. He really liked this guy. He's giving him a chance.
Yeah.
So my uncle goes on vacation with his family for 2 weeks. He comes home. He starts getting calls to do jobs. And he does the job. He goes to give the person a bill. And the person's like, your guy was out here a week ago. Mm. The whole time my uncle was on vacation, every job the guy did that got paid cash, he pretended it didn't even happen.
What?
Yeah, and a couple of them, they had to go back for a second time until my uncle found out. Can't trust anybody, bro. Mr. Ray. Where are you from? I think a Boston area?
Seattle.
Seattle, yeah. That's right.
Seattle, baby. The West Coast or the East Coast?
Do you go back to do stand-up there every year?
Just about, yeah. I mean, I just taped a special last weekend in Madison at Comedy on State where I saw you when I was I've only been there 3 times, yeah. Pete. The first time was when I was at the Orpheum with Adam Devine next door, and we came over and kicked it, remember?
Yes.
At the Comedy on State bar after your show.
Yes,
and then I think
right.
We went out to a couple bars after that.
Yeah.
And then went there for the first time last year, and then this year, last weekend, to do the special.
It's a great place to do a special, right?
Awesome. Dude, man, we built out a stage, did a whole thing. They're just great comedy people there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so funny, Madison, I've been there 3 times, and usually you would think to do a special somewhere, maybe like a Seattle where I'm from, but I go back once a year. It'll probably be a hot minute because now I got to, you know, do a new hour. During the holidays, try to pop in. There's no A room in Seattle anymore. There's no great club that people pop through there.
Yeah.
Like you got the Helium in Buffalo and then what else?
It's all right.
It's all right. That's fine.
But you say right there, you go, I got to do a new hour. Do you have to do a whole new hour?
I don't know. I don't know.
It's such bullshit, really.
Who put these rules and these cuffs on the comedy? Yeah, I don't know. Well, I also don't think that anybody... You should always be writing and challenging yourself to get more and live a life worth writing about and have. But yeah, I mean, because I know Sebastian doesn't. I think I heard him talk about that. Do you guys ever talk about like he's just like? I mean, if he comes out with something, he'll still do that. In trying to create a new hour, it's like who says you have to retire stuff? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it gets a little more tricky when you get to be at the level where Sebastian is doing
really
an arena,
expecting.
And it's like,
yeah, you're right.
You know, but like when you. Even theaters, like, I have bits that now I've been doing, like, let's say 3 years, and I could have maybe stopped doing them 2 years ago, 1 year ago, right? But now I'm still doing them, but they're getting so much better.
Yeah, wow.
Little things are getting added to them.
Sure.
And they're like becoming, you know, it's like being, me and Bill Burr had this great conversation where one time I did a special, I'm talking, and he's like, "Were you sick of it yet?" And I started laughing, and I go, "It's so funny." I go, "I was about a month away." I go, "I was about a month away from not being able to say this shit anymore without throwing up."
Wow.
Like, so I was in the sweet spot. And, you know, and I said to Burr, I go, "But I go, you're in a position every comic aspires to be in, Bill, where when you're ready, like, that's it." Yeah. The special's ready. Like, yeah. The one time I did a Showtime special, and I sent the tape in, and they said, "We're not saying yes, and we're not saying no, as far as the material is doing. There's just some of it, you know, maybe if he works out a little bit of it, and we'd like to see it again," right? So, and I kind of knew what they were talking about. There was some stuff that was current event-y that didn't go with everything else. So about 6 months later, I had some cool bits. And they said, "Okay," I sent another tape. And they go, "We want to see it live, one shot. Have them come out to L.A., find some place to do the hour. We're all going to come out and watch it. We'll make our decision."
Cool.
Not too much fucking pressure. So I did it at the Ice House. I'm no fool.
Come on.
You know, where they laughed the hardest over there.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And then at the end, I got it. It went great, and I got it, you know. And Burr's like, "Jesus Christ, Petey, what they put you through." He's nice. He's a fan of mine. I go, "Yeah, but dude, they made it better. They made me make it better." Significantly, I felt, you know.
I feel like that's rare.
Yeah.
Who are those execs that had the balls to give notes but have them be accurate?
It wasn't even notes as far as they didn't tell me anything
to
do.
Think about, yeah.
But they just at least instead of saying, "Nope, he can't do it," they like let me
make an adjustment.
Right. Whereas, you know, now if I could make my own specials, like if I was a star where if I said I'm ready and Showtime's like, "Okay."
Yeah.
The stuff I'm doing now, I would have put out 3 years ago already, you know? Wow, but it's way better now.
Yeah,
it's,
for sure.
So, you know, it's a fine line. It is.
You know, and a double-edged sword. The grass is always greener. There's like, and things happen for a reason. To not, do you feel like, when do you know maybe a bit or story is like done? Do you have kind of an end point, or are you just like?
Like I got, to make it as short as possible, I used to have this bit about having this Amish roofer and come to our house, and he's an old guy. And at the end of the bit, which is true, he's on the top part of my roof, my old Victorian, leaning against the chimney, smoking a pipe, like with his beard. And I run into my wife, and I'm like, "Get the camera. We got the Christmas card, right?" And it's like a funny laugh, but I'm like, "Dad, what the fuck?" And it was like a great story, and everyone was loving it. So then I made one tweak, like 2 years later, where I go, I start the bit out, we're going, you know, middle of the summer. It was the summertime. I happened to be doing this bit at the time at this point. And I go, my wife recently is like, "We got to start thinking about a Christmas card." I go, she's one of those people who likes to do a funny Christmas card in the summer so that when Christmas comes around, like, "Oh, look, they're at the beach."
Oh,
and I tell her, "Forget the Christmas card. We got to start thinking about a new roof. It's freaking falling apart. You got to prioritize." And then I start talking about my roof, and it's a long bit. They almost subconsciously, they don't even remember that I started by saying this thing about my wife.
Yeah.
So then at the end, when I go, "Get the camera, we got the Christmas card," it's like thunder.
Wow.
Because of a tiny little adjustment that I didn't think to make for freaking 2.5 years.
Where and when did you hit that callback? Like, what, it just, in doing the bit, it just clicked.
No,
right?
that was actually one of them where I was like thinking about driving and thinking off stage about it. I'm like, what is this thing missing? So that was like kind of a cool one where
a callback is a good thing to add into a bit if you.
But it wasn't even a callback. It was just a setup. It was the setup at the beginning.
Well, of course, yes. Yeah. Right.
Oh, but I mean, then like, it called back.
Yeah, you're calling back to like something that you would kind of use to plant the seed of the whole. It got you into it.
Yeah.
And it really is a great way to bow it up at the end.
Yeah. Right now I'm doing the one about my wife getting hot flashes. And it's a funny long bit again that I'm really digging. And now all of a sudden, after freaking 2 years, I'm adding how I put in earplugs. And I'm like, "Yeah, but roll them real tight, and you put them in, and then they expand, right?"
Oh, yeah.
And then the bit was, I go, this I just said on stage the other day, I'm like, you know, and then it's like, as they get bigger, it's like, "Can still hear, still hear, still hear, and Helen Keller," right? And that gets a laugh, but then I'm like, but Helen Keller was blind and deaf.
Yeah.
Next show, I'm going to add that my wife makes me wear, I wear a mask because it's also bright from a light on a fan.
Yes.
Which there's no light on, no fan. Yeah. But you add that. Then you hit him with the Helen Keller, and
Helen
it's a bigger
Keller.
Picture.
Yeah, because people will fact check. Yeah. Wasn't she blind and deaf?
God.
She had two of the three wonders of the world taken away.
I know.
What would you, sight or vision? Or sight or hearing? I don't know which one I'd rather lose. People always, I had a girlfriend once that was, her pillow talk always consisted of would you rathers. So it was a lot of like, I'd rather drown to death or be burned alive.
No,
I was like, why don't we just watch fucking Arrested Development and never discuss how the other one would want to die?
Yeah, right.
It's also too early. It's about not even a year in, and it was just, but it was also enough time to go, what are you planning? And then she would ask, would you rather be blind or deaf? And that's not a fun one. I'd rather, or would you rather, like, would you TCBY or Baskin Robbins? Who's got better toppings? Would you rather have to be, if you had to be stranded on a desert island, who would be your topping supplier? I don't know, something dumb like that.
Yeah,
who would be yours though, Pete?
For what? My topping supply for ice cream? What I want to put on it? Reese's. No, nice. It should be fun.
You're not an ice cream guy, are
like
you?
David. I love ice cream. Okay, are you fucking kidding me, man? Yeah, more than almost anyone.
All right.
Except Fidel Castro apparently had about 22 scoops a day. Do you believe that?
I do believe that.
A day.
Yeah, it was a big guy.
Yeah.
But you're not a big guy, so I wouldn't even think sweets are even getting their way
fucking
to your face.
Sweets.
Yeah.
Love them. But the what if, you ever hear a Tell's joke, if you could bang an animal, what animal would you bang? And he goes, I'd fuck a horse. This way, you always have a ride home.
Oh, my God.
Dave Attell, ladies and gentlemen.
Dave Attell.
The best. The best.
Yeah. What would he do? There's some joke he would say about my dad would hit me, which sucked, but it was the only way he could get hard. Oh man, yeah.
Love a
so
good
many.
Joke.
Love a good. Yeah. Would you see who's a guy like that that you'll stop to watch? Right. I could tell. I feel like is probably on everyone's short list of like, if you walk by and you're on your way home or you were heading to another room.
Oh, right.
You'll stop and you'll watch probably 5 to however many minutes.
Well, for me, it's where I live now. Who will I go watch? Like, if I want to go to town to see, like, 40
in
minutes.
New York City, yeah.
I love Attell. He's the best. But, you start to just have what you like taste-wise. And guilty pleasure for me is Nick DiPaolo. I freaking love Nick DiPaolo.
Yeah.
Yeah, he really makes me laugh. I don't, I would never say half the things he says.
Sure.
But sure as hell, he makes me laugh.
I did some pilot in New Jersey with him where we played father and son that owned a high school and little league like baseball training center based on a true story of a father and son. Yeah.
Really?
It's pretty funny. It was almost like The Office at a office or even like a 30 Rock at a baseball, like one of those places where like people want, and so there was a lot of rich parents that like, they're like, and then kind of degenerates running this place.
Yeah, yeah.
And DiPaolo and I were the father son that like ran it.
And it was a pilot for one of the networks? Like, was it a?
No, these kids that just self-funded it that I thought we were going to make it. They, at one point, they were just like, Hulu's buying it. They're just buying. They said that early on, and I was so naive to be like, awesome.
Yeah.
And then like every month, they're like, we got another meeting with Hulu. And then like every month, you're like, all right, Hulu's out.
Oh, man.
But yeah. PAX wants it. Right? Yeah. Is PAX still around? No, it's not. It's dead. You're like, all right, well, it was fun. The training facility was so crazy. Some of the guys at work there would come through and show some of these machines they use for some of these high school kids that are like phenom talents. I mean, what a thing, dude. You played sports, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Was there a sport where you were like, if I could go pro, this would be the one?
Well, I mean, I played Division III basketball, but I mean, Division III, that's
but
like
so did Teen Wolf.
Yeah. So
did he?
But by
he was high school.
If my favorite, I wish I could have been like, I didn't even play baseball in high school, but man, wouldn't it be great to be on the Yankees? Holy shit.
Fuck, dude, yeah.
Yeah.
D3 basketball is still pretty good, though, Pete.
Nah, I don't know.
What was your move? Did you have a...
I was the point guard, man. Yeah.
Wow. Pistol
still
Pete.
Have the school record for most 3-pointers, 6 1/2, dude. In 1/2, I was on fire. Yeah.
NBA Jam style.
It was fun.
What was your coach?
What do you mean? He was Division III. He was
Always remember the name of their coach. Was it like Coach?
Coach Prechtel. Yeah, it's the craziest thing, but I played for a college called Fredonia State, which is like I got recruited. And it's like 8 hours from where I grew up on Long Island. Then I graduated college.
Real quick, how cool is it to be recruited?
It was very cool. Yeah. Even at that level. Cause
fuck yeah.
What'd you play?
Just through high school and then intramurals in college. But I wanted to go pro so bad.
And what sport?
Basketball.
Oh, you played
football. Oh, so kids that were getting recruited. There was a kid named Teo Johnson that dunked on most white kids where I grew up. And he got letters from everywhere. Ended up going to Stanford, then played for the Raiders for a little bit.
Wow.
And knowing that I got dunked on, like, I've still, I mean, if I could go back in time, I would have, like, bagged up some of the nut sweat from some of the dunks. I mean, everyone got teabagged by Teo Johnson. Teo Teabag, we called him.
Oh, wow.
We didn't call him that. We should have.
Yeah.
So he was a superstar. And so watching him go through that process was cool. So I can only imagine, like, People come and being like, Pete, we want you to come to Fredonia State or fucking, you know, another made up school.
Well, you get the letters in the, when you're in homeroom and you get called down to the office because people send you letters. But like I said, you know, I got one local scholarship offer, which I didn't take because it was like, it was my hometown. I wanted to go away.
Did they offer you some money or were they just like,
no,
they we'll buy you lunch?
No. I mean, they flew me out for my recruit. They flew me out. That's it. But yeah. But the guy, so then years later, I'm living in New York City, and a friend of mine from college is getting married, so I'm the best man. And I haven't really spent much time with this guy. It's a little weird that I was the best man, but
I love when that happens. By the way,
yeah, right.
Like, you know, a friend of mine wanted to make me a godparent to one of his kids, and I was like, dude, I don't know if you remember this, but you started having your kid call me uncle like day two. So, like, I don't know if I'm the god, but, like, we also haven't spoken in, like, 9 years. Like, there's just, when people misread the, like, he's like, be the best man. You're like, I mean, I don't even know your second favorite color.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I need some more, you know, personal stats.
Right.
Let me look at your trading card.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, it was a very, and then when I got there, I met the maid of honor, and she goes to me, I'm not even that close with her. It's really odd that she made me, and I'm like, dude.
You guys bought it over this then.
It's my wife. Do you believe that shit?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
What? That's unbelievable.
Right. I know, man.
Bro, that's, I don't know what that's, a great story, Pete.
Right. Crazy. And then all
Pete,
these
that's
years.
A fucking.
Then we lived out here in LA. We lived in New York City for 22 years, lived out here for 1 year. Then my wife got pregnant, which we weren't expecting. And she's like, you're always on the road. I want to be near my family because I don't really know anyone out here. And I'm like, nah, I get it. No problem. So, she lives in a town next to Fredonia, which is not that nice. So we moved to Fredonia. So like now I'm married with a kid living down the block from the basketball house that I've lived at for 3 years. It's very weird, man. Can you imagine that?
No.
And when I left for college, I'm like, I'll never be back in this town. I loved it, but I'm like, I'll never be back. So when I'm walking down the street into the bars at night in college when I'm like 19, I was walking right past my house and I had no idea. Like,
holy,
can you imagine that? Like,
oh,
like to
God.
Know someday you're going to be mowing that lawn, you're going to have a little daughter. I'd be like, what? Crazy.
That's fucking bonkers.
It is kind of bonkers, man.
Wait, so a couple questions here. You go to this wedding.
Yeah.
The guy was from where again? How do you know the guy?
From college.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you say to him, like, you can get a better best man? Or did you just take it and go, he needs this? He needs me.
No. I didn't. The other guys in the, a couple of the other guys that were in the wedding party, one of them in particular is my best friend.
Gotcha.
So we were both kind of bonding over like, why me? You know, it was very odd. And this guy, the woman he was marrying was changing him and he was turning into an asshole. So I really haven't spoken to him since. So.
Wow. Fun wedding though?
What?
Do you like weddings?
It was a fun wedding.
Yeah.
It was a fun wedding.
And so when you meet your wife there, do you remember, like, this was how many years ago?
It's going back like 22 years ago.
Yeah. Do you remember what your opening line was 22 years ago or how you even tried to go about doing it? I'm always curious, like, especially coming out of COVID and Me Too, how guys are, I was just talking about this the other day. I was like, what do you even tell the young perverts of America that are just sitting out there, like, be like, obviously don't take it out on the first date. Maybe don't say good if you hug a woman with big boobs. Mm-hmm. You know, no. Just certain things to check off your pervert checklist of like things to not be creepy.
Right.
So I'm like, what do you say? But you're a cool, funny guy. So like you probably said something that made her go, who's this guy?
We always joke about it. It was the day after that wedding. And I was still in town and the bride was having a little picnic at her house and the bride had a horse in the backyard. It was an old horse who was not doing well. No one rode it anymore. So I wanted to go look at it. And what became my wife came with me. And by the way, that weekend she had a boyfriend with her at the wedding. And it didn't matter, man. I was like, he left town that morning early because they got in a fight because she liked me and it was obvious. You know?
Whoa. Yeah, and he could see that.
Yeah.
Fuck. You can't compete with Pete.
And you want to hear something even crazier? I used to work front desk at a hotel in New York City when I was starting comedy. And that guy who I was the best man for, a few years earlier, like 2 years earlier, he was coming to New York City on New Year's Eve. And he's like, can you get me a couple of hotel rooms? Can you get me a deal? I'm coming with my girlfriend, who ended up being his wife, and her friend and the friend's boyfriend, which ended up being my wife. So he came, I got the rooms, and he came to the front desk, him and the guy.
Who ended up being
But my wife was off in the lobby, right? And I give him the rooms, and the guy's like, hey, thanks a lot. And I'm like, hey, enjoy your stay. So I've did this only like once on stage. I tried to explain to the crowd. I go, I checked my my wife into a hotel room with another man. And as I handed the man the key, I said, have a good time.
Very few people, right? If...
Now, how would I know I'm checking this guy in and the woman in the lobby with him is going to be my wife someday?
Bro, that's
what?
Crazy.
I didn't even meet her for 2 years after that. I never even saw her.
Do you remember clocking her that day even?
No, like, no. I never even saw her. I didn't see her until the wedding. And when
Holy
I saw her at the wedding,
shit.
There's my buddy's wife-to-be in a beautiful bride's gown. And I look at my buddy and my first words are, you didn't tell me she had such a gorgeous friend.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Man, though, that's a great...
Now, where are you at now? You're not married.
Yeah,
right?
Married last year.
October. Oh, really?
I'm coming up on... We're 3 weeks away from a year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Congrats.
So that's what I'm asking.
Where'd you guys meet?
In Arizona. My buddy was dating her best friend at the time, and I had my Sunday night last show of the weekend at the Tempe Improv, and he was moving his girlfriend back up to Sacramento, where he's from, and it's the last week. They were leaving the next night, next morning, Monday morning. And he's like, let's go see my buddy do stand-up. And so my buddy was dating my wife's best friend. And so they brought her out. We all went out after, kept in touch. My wife's friend and my buddy broke up. And then they were like, should we move to New York or L.A.? Let's go to L.A. And we kind of reconnected. And that was just real quick, real quick.
Really?
I think we were both in a very spot where we... Not even we're looking. We just clicked very quickly. She was sharing a bed in a studio in Venice with her best friend, and the more she started to come over, I had, you know, two bedroom, two bath over on Laurel and Hollywood, next to the factory, and and she goes, yeah, if someone comes over, they sleep in between. My roommate sleeps in between me and the guy, like in the bed, and I was like, you can move in if you want. I mean,
yeah.
You know. And then, yeah, just got married a year ago.
Wow.
So what do I mean, you know, we've had the highs, had the lows.
Yeah.
Some fights that you're like, oh, man, it's over. And then it's definitely not.
Yeah. No, yeah.
And that's normal.
Right.
I think.
It is. It's.
We've gotten stronger from them. But, you know, it's just so crazy. It's really crazy to, like, now be having a great, you know, couple weeks and be like, man, I can't believe it's ever gotten there.
Got what?
Just to a place where you're so... not even against each other, but just like not on the same page.
Yeah. Well, I could say literally like 3 days ago, I got in a fight with my wife in the morning. Huge fight over like kind of shit. I can't even remember what it was,
totally.
Right? Like so mad. I'm like, who would be with this woman? She's so mean and da, da, da. And then we both have to leave at the same time. I got to, you know, my daughter's bus picked her up. And now... We're both like right up the block, and my wife's about to go left, and I'm going straight, and we're parked right next to each other. And she looks over and she goes, like that, like it just sticks it, but like wow, in a way that made me laugh.
And instantly, and it was over. Instantly,
yeah.
It's over.
And I couldn't even get that anger back. I couldn't even get it back.
Nope.
And it's so ridiculous.
The
and then
power
now,
of a fart joke, man.
And then now we've been together so long that I mean we respect each other and treat each other well, but still it's kind of like no one's going anywhere. Come on, we've worked too hard at this. We've been together
too hard
way
at this.
Too long.
Yes,
never. I never even flirted with anybody, let alone cheat. None of that shit
Good
ever.
You.
But if I say it to her, she'll go, "So, what, do you want a medal? You want a medal for that?
Oh,
you
my
want a medal
God.
For that?" I'm like, I'm just saying, you know. She's like, yeah.
You got to point it out at some point.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it's you know the only thing that I always worry about when I see comics in relationships is sometimes when I can tell that the woman they're with, or vice versa, if it's a woman married to a guy, they can tell they have like to make it by a certain amount of time before that person is gonna like not want to live this kind of life anymore.
Oh wow.
You know what I mean? So
yeah.
Like I've really seen a few guys in particular where, and like they're already kind of making it in the sense that they're making a living.
Yeah.
But you know, they're not famous, they're not rich, they're gone all the time. But like, so I'm just glad that my wife had a real grasp of all this shit from day one and like was just down with it all, you know. So
it's a tough thing to have to be just watching us go through. It's just a weird lifestyle.
Yeah.
Is there definitely like something in you when I feel like I'm only getting stupider, and I feel like guys in general get older, get dumber. So it's like, effect just, and a lot of the fights will come up for me just like spacing out, doing dumb shit.
Oh, yeah.
So, so I feel like that's only...
I'll fight so many of them because my wife is like, I'm clean, but she's like insanely clean. Like, yeah. So she'll like go, once again, you leave your glass out. Totally. And I'm like, I'm coming back in there. You're not coming back. You're already in the living room. You're not coming back. And then I go, Jack, I'm never putting the glass away. We've been together over 25 years. I'm never putting the glass away. And she'll go, and I'm never going to stop yelling at you for not putting. I'm like, all right, all right. You know, so it's bullshit, you know?
How old's your daughter?
10, yeah.
Cool age, yeah.
And that, yeah, yeah, oh, unbelievable.
The best?
The best, man. The best.
Is it better than, was there a certain point that it, like, well, for my nieces, I would say like four, three was obviously cute. Four, five, six, seven was like, oh man, like just got cooler and cooler, cuter and cuter. And 10 feels like a sweet spot where kid's still an innocent kid, not, right? There's no teenage bullshit yet.
No, no, there's not.
They're aware of it.
Every year is better than the year before because because they're developing more, you know? And I mean, in its own way, 16 is going to be better than 10 because just to see her sit there and like, just when now when she crosses her legs in the back of the car, like she's a suburban 42-year-old lady, like I think she should have a tab collar and a cigarette in her hand, you know? And having opinions and then see her, the friendships, you know, with the girls and like, and now you start to have the girls that like, you see the ones that are her real buds now.
Yeah.
They start to come in your house without knocking, and it's like, you know, it's really great. You know, it's like, and we live in a small town where it's just, it's nothing like around here. People don't lock their door. People like, you know, it's
that rules.
Yeah. It's a college town. So it's like really, you know, we got the town gazebo right in the middle of town where everything goes on.
Like Gilmore Girls.
Yeah. Kind of.
I think that's a show where they had a town gazebo.
Yeah.
With picket fences or something where everything seemed like it was okay.
Yeah, man. It's and you know, like a lot of times where I live, like if I come home and like ever try to like name drop, they don't even care, these people where I live. Like they, you know, unless you shot a deer, you know, they really don't care about the story. It's just like it's not like
our deers revered
social media and shit. Nobody's like walking around doing that shit that much.
Like I saw Tony Danza at the Hyundai dealership. Like,
yeah.
I fucking care,
man. Yeah, exactly.
Hey guys, Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. And look, it's almost Halloween, then it's going to be Thanksgiving, then 4th of July, and then it's going to be Thanksgiving again, and you're not going to have time to make your potatoes. So, with the busy fall season already in swing, you might be looking for some wholesome, convenient meals for jam-packed days. Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit, can help you fuel up with fast, chef-prepared, dietitian-approved, ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to your door. You'll save time, eat well, and stay on track with your healthy lifestyle. But I need time to get my pumpkin macchiato. Well, Stacy, I know you're too busy to do anything, let alone cook. So, you want to make sure you're eating well? With Factor, you skip the extra trip to the store and get chopping, prepping, and cleaning up, too, while still getting the flavor and nutritional quality that you need. Factor's got so many fresh, never frozen meals that are ready in just 2 minutes. So all you have to do is heat them up, enjoy, and then get back to crushing your life. Make this the best autumn of all time. I've never said that before. And choose from 34 plus weekly flavor packed, fresh, never frozen meals ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Level up with the Gourmet Plus options prepared to perfection by chefs and ready to eat in record time. I've been treating myself to these upscale meals. They got so many premium ingredients like broccolini, leeks, truffle butter, and asparagus. We're all too busy to make things happen for ourselves in the food department. So try Factor's delicious dietitian-approved calorie smart meals with around or less than 550 calories per serving. If you're looking to boost up your wellness and crush your goals and start feeling the best as possible, try the Protein Plus meals with 30 grams of protein or more per serving. And round out your meal and replenish your snack supply. Oh my God, here's what we love. 45 plus add-ons. Look at these snacks. Delicious apple cinnamon pancakes, bacon and cheddar egg bites, cheddar egg bites. I can't even talk. I'm so fucking hungry. And potato, bacon, and egg skillet breakfast sandwiches. Or an easy wellness boost. Try refreshing beverage options like cold pressed juices, shakes, and smoothies. Factor's the number one place in America to get your meal on, and you gotta do it, especially this September when Factor is gonna throw out all the red carpet treatments for you. Right now, head to factormeals.com/lastnight50. Use promo code lastnight50 to get 50% off. That's promo code lastnight50 at factormeals.com/lastnight. Promo code lastnight50 to get 50% off. I'm telling you, Factor is the way to go. Rest assured you're making a sustainable choice. Start eating well without the hassle. Choose your meals and enjoy fresh, flavor-packed meals delivered right to your door, ready in just 2 minutes with no prep and no mess. You can't do it any better. It's the only way to live. Factormeals.com/lastnight50. Promo code lastnight50 for 50% off. Do it. Live it. Love it. Yeah, that's cool to live in a neighborhood where people don't lock their doors. Some guy walking in front of our place the other day, yesterday actually, was holding a blanket. He's buck naked, and he goes, ah! Ah! So.
Yeah.
I don't know. It'd be cool to not see that and unlock the doors.
Yeah. I mean, we take her to New York City on trips and all that stuff.
That's cool.
So she sees it, but, like, it is, you know, it's like I was in New York City last week, and I'm like, there's so much shit my daughter has never seen that kids around here see right away.
Are you pumped to see that with her?
Oh, no. Oh, I mean, that. Like that kind of stuff.
I meant like the Statue of Liberty and stuff like that.
Oh, well, yeah, whatever.
She'll see that, whatever.
Yeah. We're going in a couple weeks. My wife runs marathons, and she's doing the New York City marathon. So
cool.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, you're right. Most kids haven't seen someone shoot up.
Shoot up.
And what do you do when they see that?
Well, I mean, hopefully by the time she sees it, she's old enough to understand what the hell it is, you know? But, like, kids in New York City, like, they're fucking seeing that shit every day. There's homeless people everywhere. New York, you see it here, too. Yeah, it is crazy, man. Luckily, it's so cold where we live. It's like, you know, cockroaches, you know, it gets too cold. They all split. Yeah.
Fuck. When people get trapped inside with snow, is that real in Buffalo?
No, it's not.
An hour out?
No, that's not real. Not trapped, ever. No. I mean, we get a lot of snow, but it's just like they plow it in seconds. It's nothing.
Bro, I think the weather people are truly like, they made a deal with somebody.
Right.
Because the amount of like, I mean, the hurricane that was supposed to be here in L.A.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be a hurricane.
Right. Yeah.
The worst wind since 1942. We all know what happened that year. Well, consider it a fucking walk in the park, considering... Yeah. That Captain Planet's jizz is about. It was. They just said it was the most rain that LA would ever endure, and that you should leave. It's just you're not gonna. If you go outside, you're gonna die. Hope you have an umbrella.
Right. Nothing. It's unbelievable.
An hour. Maybe it rained for an hour.
I don't know if it already changed by you because I'm over 50. You're not
41.
You're 41, so you're still in your late 30s. But I don't even know if you remember growing up in the news. They'd give you the news, and that was it. Now they give you the news. And then they give you their fucking opinion.
Some thought pieces.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit.
There's
same
19
thing with
articles
the
about that or about that report.
Oh, my God.
And then there's a report on that report to debunk that first report.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Too many thoughts. Facebook ruined it all. Zuckerberg was like, everyone needs to have an opinion.
And you can pick your news. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
you're picking it. You're auditioning people.
Yeah.
Someone from my past will post a link to be like, LA's running out of water. And I'm like, well, you are also, you know, on OnlyFans, so I don't know if you're the person I want to be looking to for current events.
Right, yeah, I know.
But maybe I should be.
Yeah,
And there's probably a whole article about how OnlyFans models are some of the smartest people we have.
Do you like living out here? It's too much, man.
Yeah, I do and I don't.
Just parking here, you know.
I know.
Freaking, you know, $10 to over there, and he writes on the thing. No, don't
you.
Worry about that.
I got you.
No, I'm not saying that, but where I live, I haven't honked my horn in... So, I mean, listen, I can't get good sushi. I'll give you that. I haven't had a decent taco since I got out here, but, you know, until I got out here, but...
This is why you and Sebastian...
There's yin and yangs, you know what I mean?
This is why you and Sebastian Maniscalco are buds and podcast partners. And the pod again is called?
Oh, the Pete and Sebastian Show.
The Pete and Sebastian Show.
Yeah.
How could you forget that? I don't know. Smoke weed at the top of the show. just you saying that, I'm like, oh, this is stuff that... You guys have such a similar sensibility, but such complete different styles, which is why it's such a great contrast.
Oh, thanks, man.
But everyone should listen to it. And but you just going, what do you do? The parking? It's $10. Like, I just saw like, the Sebastian parking over here. It's $10. I mean, everything. You guys both have a very brilliant way of just taking... regular mundane stuff that you just we're all a beat away from thinking about, and actually, and then you guys break it down in a way to where I'm like, yeah, that is a fucking bigger issue than I'm thinking about. Or there's more it's just peeling back layers of everything that we're doing.
Yeah, well, that thanks, man. We do that a lot, just over dissecting things. And
have you ever done fake Sebastian bits? That's a fun game people like to do sometimes in comedy circles.
Oh, they take something that he never really did do a bit on and do a bit on?
Just like we were sitting on the patio at the La Jolla Comedy Store condos and on the boardwalk and watching people just walk by, and just everyone was taking turns. And a guy would roller skate, and I was like, roller skates? Where do you gotta get to that you need shoes with wheels? I mean, whatever we were doing, it was just, we were just saying,
hey, I'm Are people still doing this? Yeah. I haven't seen somebody rollerblades.
Yeah. But with anything, it was just like somebody would say number two pencils, and they go, "Do you not have a phone?
Yeah,
you're still needing to write down." Like, you know what I'm saying? It was just,
what happened to number one pencil?
Yeah.
How did they lose?
Why did we immediately go to the runner-up?
Yeah, right?
Where's the first guy? Yeah. You don't go to a restaurant and go, is the chef here? Well, where's his backup?
Yeah, oh shit.
Yeah. How did you guys meet?
We met on one of these Just for Laugh tours. We were playing in my...
What if it was a podcast dating app? What if there was an app that was looking for a podcast partner and you weren't sliping away?
Oh, shit.
Someone's going to come up with that. All right, so you guys met at a comedy festival.
Well, I mean, now you're free yourself, right? Because you and Brad don't do it anymore.
Yeah.
So,
I auditioned other little people.
You did? Yeah. Well, no, but I'm saying, did you audition someone else to do the cast with
no,
you?
No, like, I thought about a few people and then...
Did you ever think about female?
Yes, 1,000. And then she actually ended up starting one with a dude, but I could still wrangle her in to make time for this. We have that should have been the move. My wife every now and then wants to throw herself in the ring, but then when we talk about it being real, then she backs out because she's like, no, I don't know what I'm doing. But I'm like, I think he'd be great. She's got a great voice.
Yeah.
Would you ever do a podcast with your wife? And we'll come back to the Sebastian story.
No. Okay, great. I mean, she's very funny and stuff like that. But like even with ours, you know, everyone wants to hear them on the cast over our wives, but we just have never done it. Even last night, someone's like, when are you going to do it? And I'm like, it's almost like Vera on Chia's, Norm's wife. You know what I mean? Like, you've never seen it. Now, isn't it better that you never have?
Yeah.
But I mean, like, my wife will do shit like, it was a classic time on the, I always have a candle going on the cast, especially when I would do it from home before I do it with Sebastian. I always have a candle, always like leaning over to do it.
You a big candle guy?
Yeah. Nice. I'm always smoking pots. Yep. On the cast, I'll lean over to do one hits. And, you know, one time we're in the middle of the cast, I'm like going, yeah, da da da. Boom, the door like flips open, and she goes, no, you're not using my $90 candles for the cast. Right? And she blows it out, takes it away, and then Sebastian's like, whoa, what's happening? What's happening right now? Did she just take your candle?
Did she just vanilla lavender? Yeah. What type of candle?
Or then, you know, you're doing a cast, and we think the show is so important, and Lana will do a lean in. Hi, Pete!
Oh,
you know?
My God. So, you think it's so important. It's just like, no, you guys are just fucking around in the office. So you met at a comedy festival.
Yeah, no, we met at a... It's just a gig I got where they go, look, you're going to go to... They're going to fly you to Toronto, put you up in a hotel, and 5 nights in a row, you're going to have a show. You come down, you get in a van, and the van's going to take you to some neighborhood town. Different towns outside of Toronto.
Cool.
And played these theaters. And it was me, him, and like two dudes from Canada and a dude from Australia. Mm. And it was just really funny. Like the literally, we met online coming out of the airport. I didn't know him. He didn't know me. But we just recognized each other from the picture thing. And we're talking, going to the hotel.
Yeah.
And I liked him. And I figured he liked me. And then I'm on the phone with my wife. And I'm going... Yeah, no, I met the guy from L.A. He was on that thing with Vince Vaughn. Remember him? I go, yeah. And I go to her. I go, he seems pretty cool. I go, but, you know, I go, he's L.A., Jack. I wouldn't be surprised if he brings the shirt he performs in separate, you know. And then I'm in the van, and all the other comics are in the van. No one knows anyone, so we're all kind of quiet. And he gets in the van. He's got the hanger, and I'm in the back, and I go, I knew it. And he goes, what? I go, I knew you'd bring your own shirt. You're going to present your little performance shirt. And he goes, what? I sweat. And I'm like, all right, whatever. But, you know, and then busting balls, hit it off.
It's all it takes.
And then that's it, man. Then became friends. And then he said, you want to do a cast? And boom, you know.
It really is remarkable how little info or the guys need to, like, I don't know. You hopefully feel like you're a pretty good judge of character. You're like, mm-hmm. I feel like this guy hasn't killed anybody.
Yeah.
And then, you know, is he fun to joke? Can he take a joke and give a joke, right?
I have never gotten sick of the guy ever. Every single time I talk to the guy, even if I'm not at the cast, and as soon as I start talking to him, I'm into it, you know? I like, you know, enough to get through it even on the worst days.
1,000.
But we always have such a good time, and he's a funny guy. And it really, you know, obviously him getting so popular and famous and still doing the cast, you know, I'll always own for that.
Is there
even though he likes doing it.
What's it like to watch somebody like that just kind of pop off like that?
It's great. It's great. It's when it's your friend. I was never that guy.
You're not that guy.
No. Yeah. Like, what the hell is the point of that? I'd rather be buddies with a guy doing it than not know him at all.
Totally.
And then as my wife, the only thing, a couple early on, you get an occasional comment here and there about like, oh, Pete, you know, can't, you know, but then my wife's perspective, she goes, he's beating everybody. Like, what do you, you know, you think he's only doing better than you? He's doing better than every comedian
shit.
So,
have you done some of those arenas?
I did a few of them with him, and I'm going to do a few more.
Yeah, you got to now.
Yeah.
That's great pod promo. Holy shit.
Yeah, well, it's a good way to keep doing the cast together when, you know, when
on the road and stuff.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Oh, that'll be fun.
But, yeah, no, I don't really, especially when I think a comic's funny, it's the few where, man, I've watched some comics where the whole room is laughing, and I literally don't get it. And I almost want to ask some of the audience, like, what am I not seeing?
Totally. Because no,
you ever feel that way?
Oh, yeah.
It's like nuts, you know? But I guess I feel that way with some of my own bits. I'll do a bit where I'm like, oh, this is going to be killer. And then they don't even laugh.
Right.
I'm like, how do they not like that? It's my favorite bit.
Yeah, totally.
You know? And then some other bit you don't even like that much, they love. And you're like, damn, that one? Shit. Yeah.
I know. And then you're like, I have to keep doing that or find a way to make it now enjoyable for myself because I didn't. Oh, yeah. Sometimes a throwaway will. And I'm just like, oh, fuck, really? That was. I wanted no part of that, but I guess. But that's why the back and forth, trying to listen to the audience and figure out where. An arena, too, I feel like you really got to take your time, yeah?
Arenas, well, first of all, opening is a different beast because, like, nobody's listening. I mean, you know, I've seen Dice when I was a kid, and I couldn't tell you who opened. So I get that going in. So it's like I'm doing it for other reasons as well, like to do the cast and blah, blah, blah. And even when everybody is settled in, it's an arena. So at any given moment, even when he's on stage, there's still like 5 to 7, you know, 1,000 people walking around, talking, buying beer. So you can't really focus on that. You know what I mean? You just try and do your thing. But when you're used to getting a laugh and you can't really tell the difference between laughter and just everything going on, it's like you just kind of almost like vertigo flying. You don't know. You're just like, whoa, all I know is in 20 minutes I'm getting the fuck off. That's all I know for a fact.
Well, how is it when you meet friends of your, like parents of your daughter's friends? And they're like, no, you do comedy. Have you had like, made friends from the school because of that? Or?
Well, lately I've had a lot of you know, like I'll have one of my daughter's friends go, my dad loves to podcast, or, you know, and then I've had straight up dads like at the school go, love the cast.
Great.
Know, teachers. So that's really cool. But it also makes it like early on, I would talk a lot about everything in my town, you know, every little.
Yeah.
But now a lot more people listening, so I got to be a little more selective with who I talk about, you know?
Fuck.
You know, like something will happen with a comic, and I want to talk about it, that what happened, like, in a green room. So I got to write that down and wait, like, 6 months so that when I do talk about it, so far removed from that dude, he won't even know.
Wow, has that happened?
Oh, yeah. All that kind of shit happened. And the worst part about podcasts is, like, you know, people will go, like, I got a guy who cuts down my trees, and his name Johnny's Tree Service, and he refers to himself in the third person. He's like, Johnny can do that. He's crazy dude. Crazy fucking dude. And I did, like, 20 minutes on this guy. So what happens? And he lives in the middle of the woods. He's never going to know. But one of his buddies, Johnny, you got to go. Episode 368 at the 21.
Oh, yeah, the
sometimes
exact
they
moment.
Send the link.
Of
they
course,
go, just hit that.
They cut it down.
So the next time I want him to cut my tree, he comes back. He's looking up. And he's like, I heard the cast. I'm like, and now in my head, I'm like, oh, shit, did I say anything bad about this guy? You know, he's like fucking hilarious.
Oh,
like,
great.
So, yeah.
I don't sound like that, but really funny, man.
Yeah.
Johnny Tree. So he calls himself Johnny.
Johnny's Tree Service, but yeah.
Awesome.
And then we didn't start doing video until like 4 years ago. And that was Sebastian. He always wanted to do video. And I'm like, dude, why? Nobody watches.
No,
they're driving.
People dig it, man. I love the clips.
Yeah. And then next thing you know, it's like start getting recognized. And that's like kind of fun. That's
fun.
Yeah. So,
where at? Like, where's the...
Everywhere. I mean, the TSA agent at the airport, you know.
Cool.
Yeah. I could go like... I've had, like, me and my wife will joke about it. Like, we were on a vacation at the end of the summer. We're in the airport. And 3 different people came up to me. And, like, I can go... couple months with nobody, and then all of a sudden three in one day. What's going, you know, like we joke about it like out of nowhere. Well, I do, you know. Sometimes someone else will say something to me and want a photo, and then they leave, and then I'll say something to my wife, and she'll go, when are you gonna not mention that just happened? act like you've been there.
No,
like,
sorry. It's very exciting. It's never not exciting. Come on, man.
There's so many freaking shows out there. It's like, how does anyone recognize anyone anymore?
Bro, of course, I think there's so many now that people, I've seen people look at people and just go, I feel like that's somebody. And people do that where they go, that looks like it could be somebody. Like, wow, we're just looking for it. People are so like, I want to, isn't that the guy from that thing? I mean, like, fuck, I've seen people freak out at places. I think I was doing a show, where was I? In like somewhere in Michigan. I went to this little sports bar with the other comics, and somebody was like, Chet Hanks's best friend was here. And you're like, who's that? And like, I don't know, but it's Tom Hanks's son's best bud.
Oh, uh-huh.
Right over there.
Yeah.
Just thinking like, oh, you guys are Hollywood guys, huh? You'd probably love to know this.
Yeah.
Eh. There's so many people to recognize. There's Sabrina the Teenage Witch. There was a guy who was on that once. Mm-hmm. Ate right over there. Fucking cares.
Yeah, no.
But you know, maybe somebody does care, and that's where the story gets told.
Right.
There's someone that's going to give a big fuck that you were like at a Burger King in Tucson.
But I like in my small town, the opposite. Like, there's a guy named Terry Williams who is an Elvis impersonator.
So awesome.
Anytime there's like the Strawberry Festival, he plays. The farm festival, like a little farm thing, he plays. All the old women come out with their lawn chairs. So last year we were at some farm festival. And he was getting the stuff out of the back of his truck. And me and my wife were coming around the bend, and we're like, there's Terry. And like, we go up to him, we're like, big fans. And he's like, well, very nice to meet you both, you know? And it's like, not to toot my own horn, but I'm doing way better stuff than Terry Williams, the Elvis impersonator in my town. But he don't know what I do at all. And it's so exciting to us to see him, the local guy, you know? Like, we see a local radio DJ in town. We're like, there's Dave Raleigh. Oh, my God.
Holy shit.
Fucking guy can't.
Pumps his own gas.
His radius is 50 miles. That's the radio station's radius. But to us, he's like, it's Dave Raleigh.
Yeah, man.
Big fish, small pond shit, you know? It's funny.
I met Steve Bull, who's a local weatherman in Seattle, in the fourth grade at the aquarium. He had his own headshot on him and gave it to me. He said, do you want a headshot? He looked like Lando Calrissian.
That was probably more exciting to you than meeting Ponch from Chips, probably.
1,000%.
All right.
Steve Poole, I saw him every night. He told me when it was going to rain and when it wasn't.
That's it.
He also looked cool as fuck, dude.
Really?
That was my first taste of a celebrity, really. And Brody Stevens on Public Access.
Do you think you'd be happy being a weatherman on a popular TV station?
I think so.
Or do you think you'd get bored?
I think they get bored, and that's why I think they're always not as right as they probably care to be.
Right.
Not that I watch a lot of weather, but I just feel like based, again, on what happens when you get these national, maybe it's a national weather, but I think they're as happy. I don't know. It's like they're on air for what? Throughout the broadcast, maybe 4 or 5 times. I met this girl she let me do the weather on a San Fran CBS affiliate. And she goes, I just got this job like 3 months ago. So like, I know all the stuff you were doing in the other segments was like a little looser, but like, can you just like, don't get me fired? And I was like, oh yeah, of course. I go, I wasn't going to like, say the N-word. Yeah, it's going to be fine. And she's like, I just like, whatever you were going to joke around, like just, so then I just kept it real clean because I was like, oh, she's truly nervous about, and she did like 4 spots of like, let's check in. And she's like, well, from 8 minutes ago when I just fucking did this, it's going to be 50 again tomorrow.
Yeah.
I mean, and then it was just, but she seemed like she was happy enough, but it was like, you know, the news is such a small production. There's like 6 people in there and then a couple of camera guys and 1 person directing and then everyone's off in the newsroom keeping the show moving. But it's like a small, low budget, like Waiting for Guffman type musical.
Well, the weather person, I feel like in the media, it's like what a gym teacher is to teachers is what the weather person is to journalism. It's like, yeah, you're on the news, but you're the weather, you know?
You're like the weather. You're the backseat.
Like,
oh,
you can picture the gym teacher in the lounge in a sweatsuit having lunch with everyone else, and they're in like nice slacks.
Yeah, okay, I got
roll out a fucking ball. Come on, guy.
We're going to juggle scarves today, Eric.
I mean, if you're a weatherman, the most important thing is your outfit. You know what I mean? And your hair. Your hair and your outfit.
It should be for a PE teacher as well.
What?
We had a PE teacher named Mr. Tangan. And I had a recess teacher. I want to go down some of the craziest names you had for faculty.
Oh, I can't remember any. Mr. Devlin. Yeah, Mr. Devlin was our principal.
What was he all about?
He was the principal, elementary school, yeah.
We had a PE teacher named Mrs. Wagner. She looked like Buddy Hackett.
Oh, shit.
She had a pot belly, a goatee, and some sunglasses.
Wow.
And she felt like she was always down for a road trip.
Yeah.
She had a whistle. She had a pack of minions, kids that were kind of like on the outside looking in.
Yeah.
That would follow Mrs. Wagner around, and she'd blow the whistle and go, get off. Hey, no slam dunking after I blow the whistle. And some of you were like, that's a pretty butch voice you're doing, Adam. This was Miss Wagner.
Really?
It's a very spot-on adaptation. But sweet as can be. When she smiled, it was like, you know, somebody just heated up a bowl of clam chowder.
Now, how far away from, the city
probably better now
of Seattle did you live in, though? Like, where was Miss Wagner teaching? This wasn't a city teacher, right? Were you in,
suburbs? No, this is public school. Yeah, suburbs.
Suburbs.
Yeah, and okay. She wasn't a teacher, a recess teacher.
Oh, okay.
Man, we had Mrs. McQuay. She got, Mrs. McQuay was on the older side. She got bit by a girl named Jenny Taylor who thought she was a cat. Jenny Taylor went up one day and just went, and then scratched her and then bit her.
Jeez.
I think she got suspended. Wow. Her parents were brilliant, though. Her parents were scientists. And they would come in and teach us about riboplasm and stuff.
Yeah.
Jenny was off biting teachers. And
wow. Seattle, did it rain as much as they say in Seattle?
Not really.
No.
We get a bad rap.
You do. You do. It makes it sound like it rains every day and people are killing each other because they can't take it.
Look, suicide, coffee, rain, it's all there. Not the way people think. But when they want to try to blow it out of proportion, I go, oh, dude, yes, it rains all the time. Never move and overpopulate my city.
Yeah.
But it's getting crazy.
Yeah.
You know, once Amazon went there and Microsoft and then, you know, sports got bigger and I don't know, man. But I would like to go back. I could live there.
Yeah.
You were asking me earlier, do I like it here? Yes and no. It's expensive as fuck.
It is, right?
I was just talking to Santino about this. He's like, I don't want to keep giving my money away. Like, there's so many just dumb taxes. I don't know.
Well, do you play the comedy club most nights? Like,
yeah, out here, yeah. That's and that's my real tie. And a lot of my friends, I mean, I went to school out here, so everybody I am pretty much buds with is out here.
But do you go on the road a lot too? I know you.
This year was a lot, yeah, and still a lot coming up. But I'm gonna try to take that down a notch next year. How do you like the road?
I don't like it. I only like performing at this point, but you know, like, I like to do it in chunks. Like I took my whole summer off.
Good move.
And, you know, churning the brain, thinking about bits and all that. Like I'm not, you know, and then I go back out and I go out and I kick it and I'm like, I'm out. I was telling my wife like 2 weeks ago it started and it's going to go now for about 5-6 months hard. And she's like, let's do it. Gotta do. Let's go. So, yeah.
Cool.
Go and I do it. And then.
Does she roll with you on gigs?
No, almost never. She's gonna try and come once in a while, maybe a night here or there, but she never comes because we got the kid now, you know.
How does your daughter view you as a comic? Does she think you're funny?
She thinks I'm funny, but she thinks I'm funny with her, you know? And, like, she doesn't, like, she doesn't care about it at all.
She wasn't like, I love that fucking the way you brought that bit back. She's not.
No,
like, no.
I show a photo of her on stage of me and she's like, oh, wow, cool. Like, she just, it's really odd. It's like, no interest at all. That's just my dad to her. You
yeah.
know? I mean, she likes it when people come up to me. She gets a kick out of that.
That's cool.
And she'll be like, my friends say that you're famous. And I'm like, your friends have no idea what the fuck they're talking about. I go, remember when we stayed at Mr. Sebastian's house? I go, that's famous, okay? Say,
Mr. Sebastian's house. Yeah. Great name for the sitcom.
You
and your family move in to Mr. Sebastian's house.
That was fun when we slept over there because we were there for Easter and my daughter was like, she just couldn't, like, we stayed in the guest house and then you just come in. And I'm like, there's a woman in there, very nice, and she, tell her what you want to eat. And I was like, it's
wow.
Yeah, totally different. But Sebastian's family's
of
awesome.
Of course. So. The kid exposure to, like, you know, and every kid goes through it. I remember we had Brian Hildebrand. His family gave out king-size everything for Halloween.
Oh.
If that doesn't tell you anything about. Yeah. A sports court, king-size candy bars for Halloween.
Damn.
And every game system.
Yeah.
And he had a room with pinball machines. But he was like a new Sega would come out. And Brian was like, I got the new Sega. And you're like, does it come out for a week? And he's like, Dad got it.
Yeah.
Dad got the new Sega. You want to know what games there are? And you're like, yeah. He's like, got to finagle your way into my friendship circle. Maybe I'll show you.
Yeah.
I mean, this kid was just going hard in the paint, but he saw everything. So when you would see Brian's house, you were like, probably like your daughter was with Sebastian's house. You're like, wow, there's fucking, how many bathrooms are here?
Yeah. Well, my wife's got a friend who lives in Rochester. They got an incredible house.
So
they
got a taste of that.
Oh, man, that guy builds Walmart. So, yeah, he has an elevator. This guy has an elevator in his house. Me and my daughter were, like, freaking out. Yeah.
What would be your thing if you could truly, like, add a fuck you piece of...
Oh, man, a ranch in Montana. Are you kidding me?
Boom.
But I wouldn't come back. I would not come back. I have no problem... Like,
didn't John Heffron get a ranch in like the Midwest or no?
Really?
He bought a lot of land out there.
Nice.
He showed me a picture once I saw him at the airport. It was out in the, looked like Forrest Gump house in the middle of like Alabama.
Awesome.
It was just nothing but grass.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool, man.
You'd want to do that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I did a lot of shows with Brian Regan a bit back.
Nice.
And we became very friendly, and I would always laugh at him because he said that he's thinking about someday. Maybe,
he's in Vegas now, right?
Maybe, yeah, yeah. He goes, maybe someday I'll actually retire. And that always amused me because you never hear a comic say that. I go, what does that mean? Like, you know, one last show? And he's like, yeah, just one last show and never again. And then I'm like, what if the show goes bad? Then you got to do another last show.
God, that's funny.
But I go, but that's like, it's too much pressure on yourself because then you'll, you know, a year after that, you're going to want to do stand up. You're going to be like, oh, I did a whole thing. I have a cult to retirement. You know what I mean?
Oh, my God.
So, but, you know, but I do think. You know, will there ever be? I wonder if there'll ever be a time where you roll over and go, if you're financially in the position to do this, and go, I don't want to go on stage anymore and do that anymore.
Sure. Yeah. Eddie
who?
Murphy.
Yeah. But, you know, he was never really.
What if I was like Eddie Winslow from Family Matters?
But he was never really doing it like us. It was like such a different thing. It was almost like
these
one-man shows, like Eric Bogosian and John Leguizamo. I haven't pronounced his name.
Leguizamo.
Yeah, coming out, crushing. No, there was no, you know, Eddie Murphy was never leaning against the brick wall at the fucking Funny Bone in Richmond, Virginia.
He just was an amazing performer and could do one take.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I hear that about his acting. I hear he just like, I mean, people a lot of times are acting alongside tennis balls or a stand-in because he does his shit and then he's out.
Yeah.
And he also just, I mean, he just seems like he's so efficient, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Man. Fuck, dude. Yeah, that doesn't seem possible. One last show. It's a drug.
Yeah, I know.
Regan's hilarious. I did karaoke with him in Vegas, first time I met him, for, I don't know, 4 hours, the Laugh Factory, the Trop. It was the most fun ever.
Yeah.
We were just doing bits constantly.
Yeah.
And when you meet somebody and you're a fan and you're like, I hope we have similar sensibilities. I wonder if they'd be in the bit boat. And you just start making one right away. And then he just jumped on board. And what'd he say? He was like, you gonna sing? And I was like, I don't know, man. People have been going nuts. It's like a lot of people came to my the late show. They really just wanted to hear me do karaoke. And then and they said, oh, he really? Because I talked to most people on the way out, and they said it was the worst thing they'd ever seen. You know, like, it was like, oh, some of them were like asking for the money back. So it was immediately, and us just, you know, doing that until somebody broke, and then we'd bullshit about something else, and it was like, you hope you can do that with everybody.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But who knows?
Yeah.
And you also got to be in my position, willing to do it in a way to him that's, I don't know, like if I right away, I try to not do this, was like, Brian, big fan. I was like, no, I'm going to do a bit first before I even know him. I didn't even talk to him.
Right.
And that was our intro.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we maybe introduce each other 4 bits in, you know, which is
that's cool.
Cooler way to do it.
That is cool. That is cool.
You're not a karaoke guy, are you?
No, I mean, not per se. We got one at the house and we fuck around with it, but yeah.
And what are you singing? If you and the wife are having a stony, drunky night and you put on some karaoke.
Well, it'd really be my family. You know, when my parents were still alive, they'd come over and we'd all party it up and pick songs and do that.
That's awesome.
Sinatra, you
Let's
know.
Let's go.
Billy Joel.
Let's
we took
go.
My daughter to see Billy Joel at the Garden, and it was just so freaking awesome because she plays piano and she's really good. She, like, plays all the time, like, really good.
Awesome.
And, you know, she's like 10 years old, 9 at the time, and she knows every word to Billy Joel. She's sitting there, I don't care what you say anymore. And so many people around us were getting such a kick out of this kid knowing all the words, you know?
That's insane.
It is, you know. Of course, then she went to see Taylor Swift this year, too, which is her, you know, like every other.
You're dad of the year, dude.
I didn't go. My wife went, but.
Sure, still.
Wife. Yeah, yeah.
Participated in the magic.
Unbelievable.
Yeah,
Taylor Swift is so freaking the most famous person.
Oh, yeah.
Probably I've ever in my lifetime, right?
She's dating my buddy.
She used to date your buddy? Or she
is. Travis.
Oh, that's your friend?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's going to last about 10 minutes.
Or 10 years.
I don't know. No, I mean, it's just. But
it's a whirlwind. It feels like that is. He's very cool. I mean, if there's he doesn't strike me as someone.
How did you become friends with him?
In a show out here in L.A., and then we ended up doing a commercial in K.C., that was only out there that my buddy wrote. So then he let me play it as assistant. So we were 20 hours. I mean, the longest shoot ever. But we just kicked it the whole time. And then I changed my flight the next day and went out with him and his buddies all night. And
awesome.
Then flew back like a month later to do the podcast and hang out with him that weekend.
With him and his brother, their podcast?
Or? No, Jason I met way back when, but through Mark Sanchez and I did a podcast, and we interviewed a bunch of guys, and Jason was one of those guys. And I was just in Philly, and he was going to come to my shows, but they had just had their big Thursday night win, and he was like, man, I'm just trying to fucking chill this weekend. And I was like, all good. And then I was asking some of the people at the club, because Travis came to my show in Kansas City, and those, he's a god there.
Yeah.
A god.
Yeah.
He's all great, but the team is, football's also king in KC. So the staff, I mean, one of the staff members, they couldn't believe he was there. And he's never been there. So same thing in Philly. I was like, man, I was like, I asked one of the managers, I go, if Jason, I go, he said he might pop through on Friday. And then he just was too beat. But I go, if he comes through, is that going to be, that's going to be a big deal, right? They're like, oh, yeah, I'll probably call some friends to come down. And I was just like, wow. Well, all right. Now I definitely, you know, hope he doesn't come. But for you to bombard him like that. But people are usually pretty cool. I don't know. Some guy to go up to Travis when he came into the club and started just immediately taking a video, just doing this, saying weird shit.
Yeah,
and,
you know. Yeah.
But again, I feel like he's so chill that maybe Taylor, maybe that's what she's drawn to. Maybe she's somebody that's in the limelight, but is also like, doesn't take it too seriously. I don't know.
Well, whatever it is, it's just tough for them to like do anything without all them eyeballs on them. It's like, you know, it's like, it's one thing if you're like dating someone and you're like, it's not working out, I'm going to break up with them. But now you're like, if I break up with them, I'm going to upset half of America.
Oh, also, an album is going to be written about you.
Oh, yeah.
That's what she is famous for, is doing these like breakup albums.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she needs more material, man. That's half the reason she's dating him.
I think so.
Yeah.
Needs the material. Needs the song titles.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. You're going to get to go to the wedding.
I hope so, man.
Yeah.
A Taylor Swift wedding. What does that look like?
Shit.
Yeah, arguably the probably the most famous person right now. There was a time when it was Kim Kardashian, which was a big bummer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'd put Taylor Swift up there with, I don't know, as far as fame. We're talking about entertainment fame, right? We're not talking about Trump fame.
No, not like Trump fame. Yeah, because that would be.
That's a different type of fame.
Yeah, that's the most famous.
You think he's a Swiftie?
yeah, right?
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Pete, you're a legend.
Great hanging, brother.
Dude, it just flew by, man.
Yeah.
I fucking love you, dude.
Same, man. Had a good time, bro.
People want to come see you. Well, the Pete and Sebastian Show is the podcast. Go check that out. It's a delight every week.
Thank you.
Episodes drop when?
They usually drop on Mondays.
Great.
And yeah, just put in Pete and Sebastian Show and that'll come up. And if you go to PeteCorielli.com, I'm on tour now. I call it the Authentic Tour. Lots of dates.
Great.
Theaters Friday, Saturday night. So hopefully you can
make
it.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Stay. One of the best.
Thanks, bro. It was great hanging with you,
and,
man.
And you always, your show, from the moment I first saw you, it's an extension of who you are off stage too, which is great.
Thanks.
You know, because that's the Authentic Tour. I mean, that's what everyone's got their own flavors and tastes, and it's subjective, but like, I like watching people where I'm like, oh, yeah, I feel like we're hanging out right now.
Right.
You're talking. You know, you connect the room well, and you don't talk at people, and that's my favorite type of comedy.
I'm watching a comic who's a friend of mine, like I haven't seen him in years personally, but from New York, and I'm watching him the other night on a clip, and it's like right away when he starts, it's like performancy. It's a cadence and stuff, and I'm like, it's not anything how you talk.
Yeah,
what the, like it's so, I don't know. It's not real to me. It's
sure.
Like, yeah, it's got to be. I mean, you could be exaggerated. We're all exaggerated.
Yeah, you're on stage.
Yeah.
Yes.
But like, you know, so go, hey, da, da, da. Hey, like, and do so. I don't want to even do it because I don't want you to know who I'm doing.
First. That'll be part two next time.
Yeah. Good hanging, brother. Thank you,
man. Brother. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I'm Tommy Fite.
And I'm Mercedes Javid.
And we're the hosts of Till the Dirt.
On our show, we talk about life.
Your life.
Our life.
Relationships.
Your relationship.
Our relationship.
You may already know us from Bravo Straws of Sunset, but there's still so much more to be told and tea.
Listen to Till the Dirt on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.